Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. The new Broadway musical Head Over Heels opened at the Hudson Theater in New York City over the summer. The show, which was conceived by Jeff Witte with an adaptation by James Magruder, features songs by the Go-Go's, orchestrated and arranged by Tom Kitt. See the people walking down the street, fall in line, just watching all their feet. Directed by Michael Mayer, Head Over Heels takes audiences to the Kingdom of Arcadia, where the beat is divine. But when an oracle's prophecy of doom threatens its beloved beat, it propels the king and his royal family through a journey of mistaken identities, jealous lovers, secret rendezvous, and sexual awakenings, where everything and everyone is not what it seems. Our guest Tom Allen Robbins plays Demetus. Robbins' previous Broadway credits include Newsies, Once Upon a Mattress, Sunset Boulevard, Jerome Robbins Broadway, and he originated the role of Pumbaa in Disney's The Lion King. When I was a young but
hard. Very nice.
Thanks.
I spoke with him in New York City recently and began by asking when he first learned about Head Over Heels.
I learned about this production about 2 years ago, I'm going to say. I had done a show with Michael Mayer, the director, a few years ago called Brooklynite. And he called me and asked me if I would do a role in a reading that they were doing up at the Powerhouse at Vassar.
Vassar in New York Stage and Film present Powerhouse Theater.
That is correct. and of course, I would do anything for Michael. And I said, of course. So I went up there and for a week we worked on this piece. There were a few people involved in that reading that are still with the project. We came back to New York, and we all loved it. And we did another reading of it, which involved a few more people that are still with the production. And then about a year ago, we did a four-week full choreographed and directed lab of the piece with improvised sets and some costume pieces. And that just proved that it was a project worth doing. And we were able to get enough interest from producers and backers to go to Broadway, which is where we are now.
Right. I happened to speak with Michael at Vassar that summer because he had, I'm not going to remember the exact details, but he had maybe just joined the advisory board or something like that. I know he's been there for years, but he'd like taken on an expanded role with them. And I talked to him about this a little bit then. And it was still so new and I had like no idea what it was going to be. And when I describe it to people who have asked me since, now that I've seen it and have obviously a better handle on what it is, say it's a, and you'll correct me if you disagree because you're more a part of it than I am.
I'm ready to leap on you.
I say it's a multicultural, very queer positive medieval fable with the music of the Go-Go's. What do you think about that?
That sounds pretty good. I think you should talk to our marketing people.
They're doing a great job.
They are, actually.
Tell us about your character.
My character's name is Demetus, and the first thing to know is that I wear a fantastic brown pageboy wig that makes me look like the little Dutch boy. This is, as you said, it is a mythical kingdom, and there is obviously a king and queen, and I am the king's servant. I think we're calling me the majordomo, but we couldn't really come up with the right term for whatever my position is. But, you know, if you're familiar with classic theater, there's always the wily servant, and that's me. The king has his flaws. He's not averse to lying and hiding things from his wife and plotting and planning to get what he wants. And I'm the one that has to make all of that happen the way it should. So I'm always working behind the scenes and running around and getting myself into trouble with hilarious consequences. Mm-hmm. I'm also a single dad. My daughter Mopsa is the handmaiden to the princesses. And I'm worried about her future and what's going to become of her. And I have a mysteriously absent wife. We don't know if she left me, if I drove her away, if she's dead, where she is. And then there's a wonderful sort of twist at the end yes. when we find out what that was all about. And that's who I am.
How familiar or not were you with the music of the Go-Go's before the show?
I was somewhat familiar. I'm certainly old enough that I was of age when the Go-Go's were a hot group. And I heard their music all the time on the radio. I was a big fan. not one that would go to their concerts and follow them around the world, but I thought the Go-Go's were pretty darn cool. And indeed, they are pretty darn cool. We've gotten to know them. Some of them, Charlotte and Jane, were with us from the very first project up at Vassar. And have spent a lot of time with us and worked on the piece with us and given us notes and made suggestions. And all of them have come. Gina's come and Belinda Carlisle has come and Kathy has come. And they're just wonderful.
Tell me about Tom Kitt.
Tom Kitt, I call him our secret weapon.
Such a genius.
He is absolutely the most brilliant person. Here's the thing. You know, we have these songs by the Go-Go's, which are great. And the lyrics are uncannily appropriate for the story in which we've set them. But what Tom Kitt has done is he has reorchestrated them so that they still sound like the Go-Go's songs, but he's given them a depth and he's given them an emotional content that is unbelievable. I honestly don't know how he did it. In some cases, he's reorchestrated the song so that what might have been like a simple sweet ballad is now a very moving and sad song. And what might have been like an up-tempo pop song is now like an all-out battle of wills. He's made it very dramatic. And I don't think we could have done it without him.
Remind me which of the Go-Go songs you sing.
Sadly, I sing very few of the songs myself. I have a little bit to sing in the opening and a little bit to sing in the finale, which is I'm Mad About You. Mm-hmm. I used to sing a little sweet piece of Turn to You. I used to have a little solo moment, and unfortunately, this piece has changed so many times in so many ways, and unfortunately, my little sweet ballad had to go for the good of the piece. But they were so sweet, they let me put it on the cast album. I really appreciated that.
It has a lot to do with the first time that we met, the wild dance in your eyes made up for what was never said. There may be some explanation why you feel the way you do. The world makes its rotations, but I just wanna turn to you.
Michael Mayer, we've mentioned, is the director. What type of director is he? How would you describe working with him?
Michael Mayer, I call Michael the hero of this story because Michael Mayer, and I don't mean this in a bad way, is absolutely obsessive about the quality of everything that he works on. And for about 2 years that I've been involved in the process of this, I have seen him grab this piece in his teeth and wrestle it to the ground. There was no moment too small for him to pay attention to and to try and make perfect. And what I love about Michael is that he is one of the most collaborative directors I've ever worked with. In spite of the fact that he always has the final say, he will listen to everyone. And whoever has the best idea wins. He's incredibly generous in that way. He's also not afraid to tell you that your idea is not good. But if you're brave and you state your opinion, you can back it up, he will listen, he will think it over, and he feels your idea is better than his idea, then that's what wins. And I just love him. I just want to keep working with him now.
This is, you mentioned the show changed a lot of times, which is very common for a brand new musical. And this is not the first new musical you've been a part of. What do you, I mean, it's a taxing process being part of a new musical. You have to, during rehearsals and previews, lose numbers, gain numbers, lose lines, gain lines, swap scenes, keep it all straight. What is satisfying to you about pursuing that?
Well, what's satisfying is when the end result turns out to be great. Yes, I've watched this piece change a lot. We lost a major character from the very first reading. There used to be a jester character that completely disappeared by the second reading. There are whole songs that appeared and disappeared. We used to do This Town was a big number in the show. And Turn to You was added very late in the process. That was added in San Francisco. This play has changed more than perhaps any other play I have worked on. But it almost inevitably, every change has been for the better. I did a show, my first Broadway show was Jerome Robbins Broadway with Jerome Robbins, and we rehearsed that for 6 months. And that went through changes. Whole numbers were choreographed and discarded. So that was a similar experience. The other new show that I worked on was Lion King, and that one surprisingly went through almost no changes because Julie Taymor had so perfectly planned everything out ahead of time in her head that everything just worked exactly the way she imagined it would, and we barely had to change a thing.
You've set me up for a segue perfectly. I was like, should I ask him about Lion King? I really want to. Will he chafe at that, or will it be fine?
Stand and walk out of the room.
How dare you?
If you don't ask me about Lion King, go ahead.
What was it like to be a part of that Disney theatrical juggernaut?
Well, you know what? It was not really an experience of being part of a Disney juggernaut. It was part of being in a new piece directed by Julie Taymor.
Cool.
Disney and Tom Schumacher in particular were so supportive and really stayed out of the process to a large degree. They saw that Julie had a vision and they just said, we trust you. Do what you want to do. So that was a wonderful and satisfying, it was one of my best experiences just because of who she is. But Disney has always been very, very good to me. I also was in Newsies for Disney, so I'm sort of a Disney kid. But yeah, that was a great experience.
Have you seen other casts, other Pumbas?
I have, although there have not been that many other Pumbas. I did it myself for 13 years.
Amazing.
I was trying to monopolize it. I didn't want anyone else to have a chance. But when I left, an actor named Ben Jeffrey took over the role and is still doing the role, although he has, as I did, he has had to take off some time for injuries because it's a grueling part. And I think he's also been allowed to take some time off to do other projects, which they were good enough to let me do as well. And another actor named Ben Lippitz, I believe, is maybe doing the role right now. And they're all terrific.
Is it the costume that makes it grueling?
Yes. The Pumbaa puppet weighs almost 50 pounds.
That's a lot of weight to carry around and sing and dance and run.
There's a lot of running. There's a lot of crouching. There's a lot of jumping. Yes. And not only hard on the legs, but to manipulate the puppet, you have to use your arms. So I tore the labrum in my shoulder. And I understand that Ben has also injured his shoulder and his knees, as I did. So the puppet takes a toll.
It is. It seems, though, that it is worth it. You're not mad about it. It was worth it to be Pumbaa.
Of course. As I say, I traded my cartilage for my daughter's college education. I never really expected to stay that long in the beginning, and I don't think Julie ever thought it would run as long as it did, and I don't think Disney expected me to stay for 13 years, but by the time I was pried out of that puppet like a clam from a clamshell, I was amazed to realize how much time had passed.
It always feels a little bit strange for me to ask people, like, let's keep reflecting on your career. Do your own eulogy. But you're alive. I'm sorry, that was morbid. But what have been some of your other favorite credits?
Interesting that a lot of the things that I've enjoyed the most have not been the Broadway shows that I've done and have not necessarily been the musicals that I've done. I'm a Juilliard kid, mm-hmm. and I trained to do classical theater. And I have to say I still have a real soft spot for plays, particularly Shakespeare and particularly new work. So some of my best experiences have been things like playing Bottom in Midsummer down at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington a couple of years ago.
I'm sure you were marvelous.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I also was lucky enough to do the world premiere of a play by Sam Hunter called The Whale out at the Denver Center, in which I played Charlie, a 600-pound man who's eating himself to death. And that was a wonderful experience. I did a show that was on Broadway called Is He Dead, directed by Michael Blakemore, that was the only play ever written by Mark Twain. And that was a wonderful farce. So, my best experiences have tended to be plays and Shakespeare. Not that I don't love the musicals. And my God, that's been the meat of my career and allowed me to raise a family. But I've just been very lucky for the whole 30, 40, however many years I've been chipping away at this.
Well, and you've worked very hard.
Well, thank you. I do pride myself on working hard. I can't control much else, but I do try and put in the effort.
How have audiences been reacting to Head Over Heels?
Audiences have been loving it. They first of all enjoy the humor and the songs. And the laughter and the screaming that comes from the audience all through the show, it just never stops, which is great as a performer. And what's almost more wonderful than that is when you go out the stage door and there are people waiting, there are so many people that tell us that this show means so much to them that it wasn't just an enjoyable experience, but it means something to them to see themselves represented on stage, their situation, their life, their struggle. I've had people at the stage door literally cry because they're just so happy and so moved to feel represented.
I just realized we haven't completely established what all of that representation is. So let's make that more clear for the listener.
Well, this is something else that I have to give credit to Michael Mayer for, because one of the things that we've worked very hard to develop over the course of developing this play is to decide exactly what it means and why we're doing it. It's not just a matter of taking an old fairy tale and smashing it together with some Go-Go songs. What we discovered sort of together as a cast over discussing over many months of working on this is that the story of this kingdom and of the journey that we take to escape what may be the fate predicted for us by an oracle is really the journey of a society from a sort of stasis in which everyone has accepted the status quo and doesn't feel that there is any need for change, to a realization that society has to always change, that the growth of society has to be an ongoing process, and that growth has to become more inclusive and more loving if that society is going to be healthy and is going to grow in a positive way. And we show that in many ways. One of the ways that gets a lot of attention is in the sense of gender identity. We deal with a lot of issues of trans people. Peppermint, who is a graduate of RuPaul's Drag Race and who is a transsexual woman, plays the Oracle. She's the first transsexual woman to originate a lead role in a Broadway show. We also deal with couples that are not traditionally heterosexual, and their place in a fairy tale makes that a very interesting conversation. We also deal with things like a body image, how society sees people in terms of their body image, what is considered beautiful and not beautiful. And there are other ways that we examine this issue, but the idea is just to become more inclusive and more loving in every way.
Tom Allen Robbins plays Demetus in Head Over Heels on Broadway. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.